And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. And Dave Allen is out today. He will be hopefully returning on Thursday. He got one of those bugs that's floating around right now. So we have Butch Paul joining us today. And I'm happy that he was able to join in and fill in for Dave for the day. And so you're listening to Financial Survival, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, February 14th, 2023. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hey, Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
I got a phone call, Dave, from a preacher, a pastor, and his last name slips my mind right now, but he said he listens to us every day and really enjoys the program. So I just want you to know that.
Well, good. Thank you.
He listens to the program, and I'm ashamed of his name, but it did. But nonetheless, really
oh,
nice.
Oh, and you're and he's listening?
Yeah, he's listening. I mean, he may have called in correct us. You can call if you want to and tell us who you are. I mean, really nice guy. We talked quite a while, and he loves the Lord, and we talk about the Bible and different things happening. I really enjoyed the conversation with him. I wish there were more guys that are like him. But anyway, I just forgot his last. I forgot his last name.
Uh huh.
Oh well.
Do you remember his first name?
No, just pastor is all I know. But okay. But you know,
I'll let you off the hook.
Well, he's 3 years younger than me. He knows his mind wanders sometimes, so that's all right.
Uh-huh.
You know, uh-huh. You get over these things happen.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, that's what happens. I mean, you wouldn't know that, but you know.
I wouldn't know that. No, no. No. So I appreciate you warning me.
Oh, gracious.
Oh, I know. It's just been another one of those days. And I'll tell you what. Gold today was up $2 at $1,856. Silver was down 13 pennies at 21.95. Platinum was down 23 at 943, and palladium was down $60 at 1,578. Now, we did get some weakness in the dollar, down 0.08 at 103.20. Crude oil was down almost a buck at 79.18. Paper markets certainly reversed themselves due to a hotter-than-expected inflation report. And so the Dow was down 156 points, but I think it was down a lot more earlier in the day, but they reversed it. It was actually positive, I think, briefly. It's just stupid. The S&P was basically flat, 41.36, and the NASDAQ managed to be up 68 points. Yay! European markets all positive except Germany's. Asian markets was mixed. The Hang Seng was the only one that was negative. 10-year yield popped 3.75%, 3.75%. Natural gas was up 8% at 2.61 for natural gas. So today the big news. Well, if you have a big nose, that's okay too. High inflation persisted in January. The consumer price index rising 6.4% from a year ago. And I'm looking at this different, let's see, for the month it rose 0.5%, 6.4% over the past 12 months. This is according to the Consumer Price Index that was released by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics today. We're both having a problem. Oh, my goodness gracious. Let's see. CPI measures the average change in consumer pricing based on a broad basket of goods and services. Notable increases included shelter, food, gasoline, natural gas. Categories that increased in January included motor vehicle insurance, recreation, apparel, household furnishings, and operations. There were some that had declines, and of course, that was used cars and trucks, medical care, and airline fares. Tell me one place where you saw decreases in medical care. Yeah. Just give me one.
That'll be the day. That'll be the day.
Yeah, that'll be the one. The breakdown for January of 2023. Here's some changes, and then I want to touch on something else in their little equation on how they're adapting the CPI But we saw eggs. This is the inflation breakdown for January of 2023. Eggs, 70%. Butter and margarine, 32%. Fuel oil, 27%. Utility, 26%. Airfare, 25%. Motor repair, motor vehicle repair, 23%. So these are all that went up, those percentages. All items, less food and energy. Uncooked beef steaks was down, but bacon down. Major appliances down. Women's dresses, computers, used cars and trucks, televisions. But those are the standard. They, you know, look at bacon. They've gone up so much. You know, what's a 4% decrease? Not much. So, you know, that was kind of interesting. But I saw in another report how the inflation has remained steady. But what they did, let me see if I can pull this up here. Let's see. The details of the report show, I want to make sure because I don't want to read a whole bunch of stuff that's meaningless. The details of the report showed shelter was by far the largest contributor to the monthly advance, according for almost half of the rise. Used car prices, a key driver of disinflation in recent months, fell for a seventh month. Energy prices rose for the first time in 3 months. And, you know, it was so funny when Jerome Powell came out with his little speech and his rate increase. He says, oh, we're seeing disinflation. Yeah, used cars. Isn't that dandy? That really helps us all. Shelter costs, which are the biggest services component and make up about a third of the overall CPI index. Owners' equivalent rent and rent to primary residence increased by the same amount. Hotel stays also claimed. The January report incorporated new weights for the consumer basket to try to be more accurately capture American spending habits. So now the shelter components are now a larger share of the overall index, while used cars make up a smaller portion. So they're changing the equation again, to where I'm assuming will help their cause somewhere along the line. So if they don't like something, they just change it. And so I don't know what's going on. They're saying they're trying to have something that more will read what the consumer is feeling. Like, whenever did they really care about the consumer? Half the time when they talk about this stuff, they take out the core of it, energy and food. So,
well, if they cared about the consumer, they wouldn't have gotten this mess in the first place.
Exactly.
I mean, that's not very, take a lot of hard thinking to figure that out. If they care about the consumer, they would never have the Federal Reserve in the first place. So this, get beyond that. They couldn't give a flip about us. As long as we pay our taxes, we're okay.
Yeah. And again, with these numbers, inflation has eroded any gains that people saw in their wage growth.
That's true.
So they've been wiped out again. So, hey, what a great economy. Hey, the stock market's rising. That's fantastic. Everything must be okay, Butch.
Right? Yeah, right. And you made a good point a minute ago. You know, well, inflation came down 2%. Eggs went up 70%, but they came down 2%. I'm more on the right track now. You know, I mean, yay. You know, so this is absurd. They're not comparing apples with apples. You know, three, four years ago, the prices were not nearly this high. And all of a sudden, they're coming back down by like 1 or 2%, and we should rejoice in that. Maybe it's good that it's come down a little bit, perhaps. But it hasn't made a difference that I noticed in my wallet. Maybe some people it has, not mine.
Well, you know, what I'm thinking is they put, shelter in there. Because if you really think about it, the home industry has really been hit. And rents, pushed up U.S. consumer prices, right? So wouldn't that be the area that we would probably see the biggest declines in coming up in the future?
You would think.
So maybe they're changing it. I'm just talking here, So maybe if that area is going to have the biggest declines, that would impact their wonderful inflation numbers, would it not?
You think so.
So you're not going to see as big a drop. You're not going to see as big a drop in used cars as you're going to see in shelter in the future, I believe. Because we all know the housing industry is way overpriced.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is.
So.
But as long as they keep giving free rent to illegals, they keep occupying all the houses, it's not going to come down very fast.
So, I don't know. So, but it's interesting. And so there you go. That means he's going to have to probably do another 3/4 point increase at his next meet. And but hey, the stock market's rebounded. That's a good thing. Everyone's happy. Happy, happy, happy.
I don't know how much more that the economy can handle at the interest rates. I don't know how much more they can handle. I don't know. People are not making it now. How can they keep affording paying more on what they've already borrowed? So I don't know. It just doesn't sound like a good idea to me. But we're watching it happen. We're watching the whole thing fall apart. We're watching the shooting in Michigan. I just got a call from a good friend of mine up there who's a representative, but he helped get elected. A nice Christian lady is in tears because she's in fear for her life. People are threatening to kill her because she's pro-gun. The fire in Ohio is starting to gain attention. Nothing on national news yet that I've seen, or even local news here, but it's starting to gain attention on some news broadcast. You can watch a video of that cloud going up, that toxic cloud going up, and spreading out like a nuclear bomb on the top, moving across the country. I live several hours south of that, but that doesn't mean it's not going to affect us down this way because that cloud will move with the weather. So these things, we don't hear them brought up. All we hear about the balloon in Ukraine. But this train wreck in Ohio is something people need to pay attention to because it's really a nasty thing. And by the way, I just happen to think the pastor's name was Gingrich, like Newt Gingrich. Gingrich. Okay, that's who his last name was. So, excuse me, Pastor. Took a while to figure it out, but I got you. But anyway, so a lot of things are happening that, they're just not being talked about. They're keeping kind of on the rug, and that train wreck, I think, is one of them. But on the good side, I guess, if you want to say this, Nikki Haley just announced her own president. Aren't you excited?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, she did. Nikki Haley, the former South Carolina governor and United Nations ambassador, announced her candidacy for president on Tuesday, becoming the first major challenger of former President Donald Trump for the 2024 Republican nomination. The announcement delivered in a tweeted video marks an about-face for the ex-Trump cabinet official, who said 2 years ago that she wouldn't challenge her former boss for the White House in 2024, but she changed her mind in recent months, citing, among other things, the country's economic troubles and the need for a generational change, a nod to the 76-year-old Trump age. You should know this about me. I don't put up with bullies. And when you kick back, it hurts them more if you're wearing heels, Haley said. I'm Nikki Haley, and I'm running for
dumb
statement. Yeah, really. But
no,
I guess it got attention. But Haley, 51 is the first in a long line of Republicans who are expected to launch 2024 campaigns in coming months, among them Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, former Vice President Mike Pence, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina. We will see. I mean, I'm getting all excited. The whoopee, I just can't wait for another election campaign, and we're going to get somebody this time. It's going to change this country, folks. We're going to change it this time. We're going to take back the House and the Senate. Yeah, okay. I've been hearing that most of my life, and I just kind of give up hope on that. Any comments, Melody?
No, it's just, I know a lot of our listeners, are very strong Trump supporters, and so I don't mean, but I think with those candidates that you just mentioned, Trump doesn't have a chance.
No, I don't think so at all.
No, because if he campaigns in the same manner and he thinks that he can use his same campaign strategy that he used before, it's not going to work. Because people don't want Twitter from the president 24/7. I mean, it was just way over the top. And that's what I hear most. You know, I like Trump, but he just can't keep his mouth shut.
That's very true.
You know, I'd vote for Trump, but I can't do another 4 years with his mouth. And regardless of whether they liked what he said, regardless of whether they agreed with him, regardless, they're not going to vote for him. So, again, if he changes his strategy, he might have a chance. But I don't think he's going to, because he's already calling DeSantis all kinds of names.
He's too arrogant.
And so it's the same BS.
He's too arrogant. You know? He's not going to change away.
No.
This is what I didn't vote for him the first time. Now, I'm not ashamed to say I didn't. I voted independent, but that's okay. That's what I did. That's why I couldn't go for that. Of course, not for Hillary, so we got what we got. Here we are. But I haven't seen anything make a lot of difference in the last 50 years of my life anyway, so what difference does it make?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, you're right. It doesn't make a difference to what we want it to, but look at the differences between what this person that we have in the minute. They're making major changes. At least the other side slows them down a little bit.
yeah, I know.
You know, and they gain in other areas. They gain in other areas, but what's going on now in D.C. is just unbelievable. I saw something on Facebook today where there was this big thing being pushed where you're supposed to sign. It's not American to ban books.
Oh, okay.
But then I looked at it a little bit more, and it's like, no. Here are these people that are trying to – it's these schools that are taking out the pornography books from kindergarten.
Right.
And they call that banning books. It's like, what is wrong with these people?
Well, they're calling folks like myself that want to stop the adult cross transgender drag queens dancing in front of the children. They call us fascists. They had anti-fascist guards there. To protect them from fascists like myself and right-wing terrorist Christians like myself. So now we're fascists because they want to protect their children from filth and don't want to see their souls and minds destroyed. We're fascists. That's America today. They call evil good and good evil. That's Isaiah 5:20.
Absolutely. And you know what? You know how you usually put your thumbs up and a thumbs down? There's no place to put a thumbs down anymore.
No.
They're all thumbs up. And it's like, what?
Yeah, you might hurt somebody's feelings.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, it's just what it is. We didn't get the whole lot of news that segment, but we had a lot to talk about.
Well, we did get a lot of news out. We got the CPI out. We got a lot of information about that and everything. So, no, and that is very important. I hear the music, so we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. And real quick here, there was another interesting global liquidity drain is coming for markets. This is coming from Citigroup. And it says that risky assets may be in trouble now that the one-off liquidity injections from global central banks that have been fueling a market rally in recent months. Golly gee. Oh, the market rally in recent months isn't due to a great economy around the world. Oh, no. It's global central banks fueling the market rally. Gee, who could have figured that out? I mean, it's just like, so there you go, folks. And there's people out there who believe they're going to take it even higher. This guy from Matt King, he's a city strategist, published a report on Sunday, and he pointed to interventions in recent months undertaken by the Bank of Japan and the People's Bank of China, as well as shifting line items on the European Central Bank and the Federal Reserve's balance sheets that have added almost $1 trillion to global central banks' reserves. And he says the financial markets have been buoyed globally since October, as investors have read slowing inflation, a sign that central banks are getting closer to the end of their tightening, blah, 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 blah. So, but the $1 trillion increase in reserves helps resolve the disconnect. It's worth about a 10% boost for stocks, 50 basis points of tightening in investment-grade credit spreads, and 200 basis points for high-yield spreads. And so it's he's waiting for all of that to go away. So no more liquidity into these markets. What do you think's going to happen?
We will soon see.
Well, it'll be like the earthquake.
I want to. I'm gonna share an article here with you. I want you to tell me if you see a problem with what may be coming in the future with this article. And folks, pay attention, because this is really important for folks like me, older folks. Not like Melody, but folks like me, older folks.
Thank you.
No problem. More than 1 in 6 Americans, now 65 or older, as U.S. continues graying. Some 17% of the people living in the United States are more than 1 in 6 were 65 or older in 2020, according to a report from the Administration on Aging. That represents a 57.7 million people, an increase of 15.2 million, 38%. The people 65 and above since 2010, compared, now listen to this, 30% in the last 13 years has people 65 or older, while people from between the ages excuse me, got a problem with that, people under 65 growth had just went up 2%. So we got 38% people 65 and older And people the young in that, the growth of the population went up at 2%. It also reflects a consistent increase in the nation's older population since 1900, when there were 3.1 million Americans 65 and older. That was 4% of the population then. The report projects a climb to roughly 80.8 million residents of 65 and older by 2040, more than double the number in 2000. It also predicts a doubling of the number of even older residents by 2040, which, with the count of those 85 and older, expected to grow by 6.7 million in 2020 to 14.4 million by 2040. So they had a 38% growth in people turning 65 and older, and 2% growth in the people younger than that. What could that foretell in the future, Melody?
We're the next Japan.
Yep, you're right.
You know, where they sell more diapers to the older people than they do for babies.
And they can't afford to feed us forever.
Yep. And but you don't have the innovation. You don't have the, you know, you're. It's also a sign of a country declining. Look at Japan.
That's true.
They're very much in a declining, and so are we. And so, no, you need. Why do you think Japan took those? Why do you think China took off those requirements for their youth? They're repopulating over there.
Well, if you don't repopulate, the nation dies. Yeah. That's all there's to it. Can't do anything
Absolutely.
About it. It dies. It has to. That's common sense. You know, it's common sense. So I would say people that are turning 65 or older. Maybe heading into a rough time ahead financially. I mean, seriously. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I can't. No one can predict what's going to happen.
And
totally,
all of these old, and the older people is a drain on the system. It's a drain on society because you have more health related problems. You have more hospitals. You have all of these that's a strain. And you don't have, it's not balanced. And that's one thing I learned to get to my age, the old age of 39, is balance. It's all about balance. And it takes two. And that's how God created things. And that's how it is meant to be. So.
Well, I just don't, I try to tell people, I don't care. If you're a young one now, you need to pay attention to what we're saying, but you need to prepare for your own future. But if you're in your 50s and figuring on retiring one day, and I don't know what's going to happen in the next 10, 15 years, you better prepare something for yourself, because I don't think we're going to have a lot of anything else there. 2% growth versus 38%, the 2% cannot feed the 38% forever. It won't happen. So they either got to cut back on those that are getting older, I guess you call it euthanasia, or something's got to give. That's all there is to it. Any more comments on that, Melody?
No. And again, it to some degree, I mean, there aren't jobs out there for the youth to do. I saw today that Twilio is going to be laying off 1,500 employees, or 17% of their workforce. UPS plans to lay off some of its weekend drivers, as delivery companies downsize for post-pandemic life. So that means the USPS will be picking up probably those. That means your mail's going to get later and later. So, I mean, yeah, there's just no good news out there that looking forward.
Well, the article says corporations embrace layoffs and stock buybacks in name of efficiency. As the economy gets choppy, companies will have to work harder to bring in profits, and workers might end up paying the price. Of course, corporations want investors and analysts to know that they, too, realize the good times fueled by low interest rates and soaring stock prices have ended. Earnings calls for so far this year show that many American largest and most prominent corporations are trying to demonstrate that they're serious about reducing costs, dealing with profit growth, and returning money to shareholders. Some companies, especially in the technology sector, are turning to layoffs, often in tens of thousands of workers, to rein in costs and hope to see a looser labor market and lower wage growth as a result. The actual top-line results, sales, show the slowing of the ability of companies to pass along higher costs, with some extra profit including, S&P Dow Jones Indices, senior index analyst Harris Silverblatt wrote in the analysis. In other words, profits have been eroded by businesses no longer being able to raise prices with impunity. Looking at how chief executives talked about their earnings in January, Silverblatt noted that along with the relatively decent numbers were numerous warnings from CEOs of harder times, squeezed margins, and consumer pullbacks. Yeah, that's a fact, folks. Corporations are going to make money or they won't be in business. They're in for a profit. And so, yes, it's going to get tougher, much tougher. There's so much insanity in this country today that it's almost hard to cover all the bases, Mel. There's so much stuff going on, you really can't cover it all in an hour broadcast. You couldn't do it in a six-hour broadcast to cover all the bases. It's impossible. And shrinkflation and slack feel are coming for your Valentine's Day candy. Oh, there you go, Mel. Your boyfriend buys you candy. You won't get as much this year. Yeah. Your box of Valentine's chocolates from your boo might not have quite as many pieces this year, but it's probably not because they love you less and more about shrinkinflation and slack feel. Shrinkinflation, which Edgar Drosky, founder of ConsumerWorld.org and a consumer lawyer, describes as a backdoor price increase, and that's what it is. Is when manufacturers reduce the amount of product but keeps the price the same. This might look like fewer chips in a bag, fewer sheets on a paper towel roll, and on Tuesdays, fewer pieces of chocolate to bite into. On this Tuesday, of course. It is a phenomenon that isn't all that uncommon when inflation is high, said Charles Lindsay, working professor at the University of Buffalo. In the last year and a half, shrinkflation has hit the U.S. particularly hard. In fact, the country hasn't experienced shrinkflation of this magnitude since the 1970s, which is also when inflation was high and rising. Yeah, you noticed that, Melody. I'm sure you have. My wife and I, we eat bacon. We eat turkey bacon. You remember when you used to get a pound of bacon? Now it's 12 ounces. But yep. It looks like the same size package. The price stayed the same or went up. It used to be a pound. Now it's 12 ounces. I mean, surely everybody can see that. That's just the way it is. Cause for inflation. When everybody out there buys, you should know that already. But the average person that buys snacks or chocolates or whatever else, whether it's Valentine's Day or anything else, is not necessarily looking at the net weight, you say. So I think it's misleading. It's immoral. But no, I don't think it's illegal. It's talking about, they mislead you. It looks the same, but it's not the same size. So it's misleading. It's immoral. It's kind of like lying to you, but it's not illegal. That's where we are. Yep. So... anything you want to add to that?
No. Here's something that you'll enjoy, and I'll do this real brief. Ford is halting production and shipments of its electric F-150 Lightning due to potential battery issue. There you go.
I think we discussed that in the past. I do believe we have.
Did we discuss that? Well, this was just dated today. Well, yeah,
No. I mean the battery problems. We talked about that in the past. Yeah, this is going to happen.
Yeah, this came out today. They actually made some sort of they paused production shipments of its electric, I believe, a week ago. They declined to disclose details of the possible battery issue, which is being investigated after a vehicle displayed a potential problem as part of the automaker's pre-delivery quality inspection. So,
and the people that already bought them, the batteries go out. I guess they're under warranty. They replace them, I suppose.
Well, they're not even delivering them.
They haven't sold any of them.
No, they stopped shipment order and halt in production.
Ah, okay.
It was issued at the beginning of last week. Well, I'm sure they were on hold and everything. Whether they were actually, I don't know how many of them actually were delivered, but what they're saying is that they found this battery issue after a vehicle displayed a potential problem as part of the automaker's pre-delivery quality inspections. So I don't know.
Well, I don't know either. I don't know that.
Well, I know they had a lot of deposits on them and so forth, but I don't know how many of them have actually been delivered.
Okay. And different topic, but this is almost amusing, but it isn't. It almost could be. I'll tell you why in a minute. I got to share two articles to cover this, but the country is watching. California's homeless crisis looms as Governor Newsom's eyes political future. hate to think that man's even got a future in politics, but I guess he does. But anyway, driving through the industrial outskirts of Sacramento, a stretch of warehouses, wholesale suppliers, truck centers, and auto repair shops northeast of downtown, it's hard to square California's $18 billion investment in homelessness. Tents and tarps, run-down RVs, and rusted boats repurposed as a shelter line one side of the main thoroughfare. More tents and plywood lean-tos hug the freeway underpasses that crisscross Roseville Road and spill into the nearby neighborhoods and creek beds. At one of the more established encampments, Daisy Gonzalez used canvas and carpet scraps to fashion a living room outside her cramped RV. Inside, Gonzalez took a quick hit of fentanyl and turned to a mirror to apply a fresh face of makeup. As the opioid coursed through her body, her anxiety settled. Her thoughts now grew more collected, but she knows the addiction can't end well and recounted a half a dozen failed attempts to get clean. I really need to get off this fetty and stay clean, but it's hard, it's so hard out here, said Gonzalez, 32, her eyes welling. She turned back to the mirror, finished her eye makeup. I want to get help and find a program, but there's no treatment around here. It seems like nobody cares. Across California, homelessness is impossible to escape. Steep increases. Sacramento County saw a 67% melody rising in homelessness count between 2019 and 2022. 3 years span, 67% increase. Isn't that amazing? Now listen to this. Utah governor, this really isn't funny, but I can't help but giggle a little bit. Utah governor tells Californians to stay in California instead of coming as refugees. Okay. I can understand that. If you're from California and thinking moving to Utah, think again. You may not be welcome in the Beehive State. Governor Spencer Cox of Utah said Friday that California should stay in California in part because the state is beset by problems including housing and water shortages. Cox, a Republican, delivered his remarks in front of the White House last week alongside Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey, a Democrat, as a pair were in Washington for a National Governors Association. Murphy and Cox, who led the NGA, spoke to reporters about their meeting with President Biden, where they discussed border security, immigration, water rights, and a debt limit. In response to a question about population movement and what Utah is doing to bring in more residents, Cox said it's not working to attract more people. This last sentence is confirmed that Utah was the fastest-growing state over the past 10 years, Cox said. Our biggest problems are more growth-related. We would love for people to stay in California instead of coming as refugees to Utah. And that sounds kind of callous, but I understand what he's saying. And, you know, West Virginia is not a state that draws a lot of people moving into it. And I know this sounds terrible. I'm kind of glad. We have a fairly good state government, a conservative government. We're not crowded. Our state is very roomy as far as up and down, if you don't mind hills and mountains. You got to mean to have people in the whole state. You spread us out, we'll be as big as, at least as big as Oklahoma or somewhere. A big state, just not all level. So if you like small places, we like it here. If you like rural places to live, West Virginia is the place to be. But I understand what he's saying. The people from California come there maybe looking to solve problems, but they bring with them the problems with them. They want to go back to what they had there maybe as far as conveniences and add more burden on the state of Utah. They don't want it. I don't blame them for that. And I hear music.
Yeah, I don't want it either, but we're here at the break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, babe. Don't say babe. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on shortwave radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And we are back. I'm Melody Cederstrom here with Pastor Butch Paul. And where are we going to next, Butch?
Let's go to Alaska.
Let's go to Disneyland.
Okay. Yeah.
No, thank you.
No, I believe I'll stay where I'm at right now.
Yeah, me too.
Let's go to Alaska because they find that Russian nuclear bear bombers flying near Alaska as Putin's taunts U.S. days after project was shot down in UFO storm.
Okay.
Russia claims to have flown two of its Tu-95 bear bombers near Alaska in a show of strength to the west. The footage reportedly shows a noisy missile carrier flying over neutral waters in the Bering Sea, accompanied by 30 Russian fighter jets very close to the U.S. airspace. The Russian Tu-95MS were said to be flying above neutral waters on a planned mission, according to Moscow. The view from the cockpit the footage released by the Kremlin allegedly shows the Tu-95 missile bombers on a Valentine's Day mission, and what appears to be a warning to the West about Kremlin fury or supplies of weapons to Ukraine. This comes after repeated threats made by Russian officials and propagandists when using nuclear weapons amid deepening East-West tensions surrounding the war in Ukraine. And I heard a speaker today, an ex-lawyer pastor, explain what's going on in the Balkans, and did a great job on it, biblically speaking. Did a great job on it. Call him up and have him come on the program one day and share his information with us, because a great, great expose on scriptural prophecy and why this is happening over there. I knew some of it, but he knew a lot more than I did, and I really enjoyed it. So, yes, things are heating up, folks. I think it's coming to a head sooner or later. I really do. And Russians abandoned wartime Russia in historic exodus. As Russian troops stormed into the Ukraine last February, sending millions of Ukrainians fleeing for their lives, thousands of other Russians raced to pack their bags and leave home, fearing the Kremlin would shut the borders and impose martial law. Some had long opposed rising authoritarianism, and the invasion was the last straw. Others were driven by economic interests to preserve their livelihoods or escape the bite of the sanctions. Then last summer, a military mobilization spurred hundreds of thousands of men to run. Russian President Vladimir Putin's war has set off a historic exodus of his own people. Initial data shows that at least 500,000 and perhaps nearly 1 million have left in the year since the invasion began. A tidal wave on the scale with immigration following the 1917 Bolshevik Revolution and the Soviet Union collapse in 1991. If that's telling the truth, I would assume that Putin has his hard times too. What do you think?
I would think so.
You know, so I wish that I had more knowledge to explain what's going on there, even from the scriptures, actually. But it is prophesied. And it's amazing how this all ties together. I mean, I'm not going to get into sermons, folks, but God's word is true. If he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You can count on it. I don't know the time frame, but I don't set times. I'm not in charge of that. But if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. U.S. tells any remaining Americans to get out of Russia or face possible conscription or being drafted. You may saw that last night on the news. I don't know. It was on the news last night. But apparently sensing that Russia is about to escalate the war in Ukraine in some dramatic fashion, potentially to involve a new national mobilization effort ahead of the coming spring offensive, the U.S. Embassy in Moscow has issued an urgent new appeal for any and all Americans still in Russia to depart immediately. The fresh advisory alert released Sunday warns of unpredictable consequences for any U.S. citizen remaining, including being singled out for detention by authorities, as well as possible forced mobilization or conscription. Do not travel to Russia due to the unpredictable consequences of the unprovoked full-scale invasion of Ukraine by Russian military forces, the potential for harassment, and the singling out of U.S. citizens for detention by Russian government security officials. The arbitrary enforcement of local law, limited flights to and out of Russia, the embassy's limited ability to assist U.S. citizens in Russia, and the possibility of terrorism. U.S. citizens residing or traveling in Russia should depart immediately. The embassy urged also at the moment that Ukrainian officials have warned of greater Russian military buildup along the border and impending escalation. Russia may refuse to acknowledge dual nationals, U.S. citizenship, denying their access to U.S. consular assistance, subject them to mobilization, prevent their departure from Russia, and or conscript them, the statement added. So I know people don't want to hear this. A lot of folks don't want to hear this. But the West has provoked Russia into this. They've been in for a long time. Did you know back that Bush Sr., Melody, back in the 90s, went to Europe and tried to talk the nations of Europe to allow Ukraine to join NATO, and the nations wouldn't do it because they didn't want trouble with Russia? Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah. Bush went over and wanted Ukraine to be part of NATO, and the nations of the European Union said, we're not going to do that. We don't want a problem with Russia. So for a long time, we've been provoking Russia to move because we're surrounding their country. The West side is almost totally covered with NATO nations. So we've been provoking them to battle. And at one time, of course, Ukraine and many of those nations were part of Russia. You know that for sure. I know you know that.
Well, of course
I do. Yeah. And so I don't know where this is going to end up or how fast it's going to get there. But Russia's getting a little bit ticked off. And I can understand that. The people in Russia probably don't like the war at all. Nobody in the right mind would. So I don't know what the answer to this is, but I do know it's prophesied in the scripture it's going to happen. And it's happening. On the other side of this, North Korea shows off enough ICBMs to overwhelm U.S. defenses. North Korea and its lengthy lineage of dainty, desperate despots have been the butt of an untold number of jokes within the international community for decades, thanks in no small part to their bizarre behavior and completely silly saber-rattling, but the times they are changing. The DPRK has grown ever more aggressive on the world stage of late, bolstered by the growing axis of authoritarianism that's sprung up in the wake of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. North Korea, Iran, Russia, and China have all been rather coordinated in their attempts to menace the Western world of late, and the latest threat out of Pyongyang is no laughing matter. North Korean military display enough intercontinental ballistic missiles to defeat America's air defense on the West Coast, according to satellite images of a martial parade on Wednesday. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un organized a parade throughout the last week, showing up the 12 individual Hwasong-17 ICBM launchers. The U.S. has just 44 missile interceptors on America's West Coast, with some stationed in California, others in Alaska, according to Politico. If the 12 ICBMs carry a payload of 4 warheads each, they would overwhelm America's prepared defenses, according to the report. How worried should we be? North Korea has struggled to demonstrate the range capability of the ICBMs. However, though the Hwasong 17s are thought to be capable of reaching U.S. from the country, so they've expanded their weapons enough to at least reach the West Coast. Yeah, I think that should concern us. I don't think we can take on the Far East and Russia and who knows whoever else in a war. I don't think we could defend ourselves against one of them, much less all of them. What's your comments?
Yeah, I don't know. This will peak, and like you mentioned earlier, and I'm just not quite sure. And I'm not quite sure. There's just so many. These countries are just getting a little further along in their abilities to create more destruction around the world. And we're now in their line of attack, and they can reach us. We're no longer protected by the oceans and distance. It's unnerving to see what really the future is going to hold. That it will peak and it will come to some sort of catastrophic event, I believe.
Well, it will. I know it will. It's prophesied, but I don't want to think about it.
And no, I don't want to either.
I'm
not going to live my life in fear. But
no. Yeah. But I just think about our next generation. Yeah, the young ones never had a chance to understand any of this.
Yeah, but the thing of it, and you're right, it's sad that they missed it, but the whole point is they will accept what's given to them because that's what they like until they get a good taste of it for any length of time, and then maybe they will rebel and try to recapture some sort of a piece of the past, maybe, or they're just programmed enough now to accept the new world, and so be it.
Well, like I said, it's a sad commentary. It's really
The question is, will there be any more rebels in the past in the future?
I think you're right. I think they're getting scarce, and this is a little bit. Well, it's the same topic basically, but a little different point. A Catholic school in Canada kicked a young man out, 16-year-old young man out, because he said there are only two sexes. They kicked him out of school. He wouldn't go back to school. So he went back to school, and they arrested him because he was going to hurt the. He's going to hurt the feelings of the transgenders. He's going to harm them in some way, mentally or whatever. So they arrested him for going back to school because he said there are only two sexes. Yeah, it is insane. And I just wonder about all these other young people in that school. Why didn't they speak up and say the same thing? Are they that far gone that they believe that there can be 60 sexes or whatever? I mean, you're right. Maybe they have sold out to the point they can't get back. I don't know. But this is a sad statement, too. Jim Jordan criticized for saying only Americans should vote in American elections. How dare he say that? What a racist man he must be, Melody.
Oh, I know.
Unbelievable. Representative Jim Jordan, the Republican in Ohio, was hit with backlash for making a seemingly elementary and innocuous remark, only Americans should vote in American elections. The comment was in regard to House Joint Resolution 24, on the disapproving the action of the District of Columbia Council on approving the Local Resident Voting Rights Act of 2022, which passed the House of Representatives on Thursday. The resolution seeks to overturn a bill that passed the D.C. Council in October, which opened local voting processes to non-citizens. But Jim Jordan said only Americans should vote in American elections. That is absolutely the most uncaring thing I've ever heard in my life, I tell you what. I mean, I know I'm saying it facetiously, but this is the situation we're in, that we actually have to vote or have the House say you can't have illegals voting elections. We have come a long way, Melody, in the wrong direction.
We certainly have.
You know, I don't know what else to even add to that. I mean, the border is wide open. That's literally true. People come across by the hundreds of thousands every month. Where are they going? They're going somewhere. Who's taking care of them? Well, if they come to the government for help, we take care of them. And we're housing in places where other people can't, people that live here can't afford to live. And give them everything they want basically free, right up to health care. So I don't know. But now they want to vote in elections. Who knows? Maybe they already are, Melody. Who knows?
I'm sure they probably are.
You know, who knows? But I'll get this one for another time. Tragic cost of profit, secrets and lies. 500,000 American youth have died suddenly due to vaccination. Secret CDC report confirms this. This is not a right-wing radical bunch, folks. This is from the CDC. Amidst growing concerns over the safety of COVID-19 vaccines, a shocking report from the Office of National Statistics reveals the devastating impact of the injections on children and young adults. The data shows a staggering increase in mortality rates among vaccinated children, with triple vaccinated children being 45.23 times more likely to die from any cause than unvaccinated children. Meanwhile, mortality rates per 100,000 are lowest among unvaccinated 18 to 39-year-olds and highest among vaccinated 19 to 39-year-olds. So they said at least half a million have died, and that's confirmed by CDC. So maybe we should pay attention. Maybe we should, people should back up and think about this next vaccination before they get it. I don't know. Just my thought. I believe I would if I were them. And killing children for profit, Europe suffers 1,580% spike in child deaths following the EMA approval of COVID vaccine for children. This is in Europe. A 1,580% spike in children's death since the COVID vaccine started. And now they approved it in this country from 6 months old and up. Wow. Wow. And not only are the people that are under 65 not multiplying as quickly as the older folks are, as far as getting older quicker, they're killing them. They're knocking them off right here. So it's sad, but it is what it is. Any comments on that, Mel? I know you're thinking about that.
No, you're good.
I mean, this is a country that we're watching, you and I grew up in a whole different era. It's just hard to imagine. I'm looking back, thinking back in my lifetime now, when I was just a young boy, how much things have changed, Melody. If I would have been told this when I was 20 years old, I would have had a hard time believing it was going to happen in this country. I really would have had a hard time believing what I'm seeing right now. And the callousness for people's lives and their well-being is just unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think the lack of resistance.
Oh, yes.
It's the acceptance. But yet, is the acceptance really that across the country, or just what we see on the mainstream medias and the social networks? Well, I don't know.
I mean, well, nobody's doing much about it in mass anyway.
No.
So that should tell you something.
I know.
I mean,
well, it's going to tell me I hear the music. That's telling me we're out of time. So we will be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Penny left for me. That's too bad.